Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denomination and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
Close your eyes. If you can speak in tongues, please speak in tongues. In the next 2 minutes, be so in Jesus. Father, we give an encounter. Father, we give an encounter. We give an encounter. Someone left on the horse. Lord, we love you.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun.
Lift up hands, church.
Your name is to be hallowed.
You call a Messiah.
From the rising of the sun to the setting, say to the setting of the sun. Your name is to. From the rising, say, from the rising to the sun.
Give you praise. We thank you for your presence. We came as hungry men and women, and we seek for genuine revival. Let your light quicken us, and may our heart be perched before you. Let it be fresh fire. We give you praise, and we honor you. Let us say amen. Clap your hands together for Jesus. Let's be seated, friends. Let's be seated.
Your name is to be hallowed. Just bring your name upon me, bring. Just bring your name upon me, bring. We call him and say, your name is on. Just breathe your name upon me, Jesus. Just breathe. We sing, just breathe your name upon me, say.
So let us just change.
For some time now, I've been going around the globe, and one thing I've perceived in my spirit is that, in as much as the Lord has given the church so much power, there is a less reflection of God's possibility in the church. Not because power is absent, it's because knowledge is absent. Everything about the fifth life is predicated on the strength of your knowledge. He says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Now, whenever the Bible makes use of light, talking about the understanding of a man. If the enemy wants to fight your destiny, the first port of call is the mindset of a man. That is why Apostle Paul told us in the book of Romans, verse 2, that once you are done giving your life unto Christ, never stop renewing your mindset. You know, sometimes we frown at prophet because of some experiences. But don't get me wrong. False knowledge is dangerous than false prophets. Because the intention of knowledge is to make you become. So once the enemy indoctrinates into your life a false knowledge, you receive not what God has said. Am I communicating, friends? That is why in this end time, I believe personally the word of God must be taught with enough precision so men can become the light of God himself. In fact, your generation is waiting to see your results to believe in God. Oh, am I communicating, friends? So if we say we are Christians because of where we go to church, yet we can't become the light of God's presence, it's a proof we don't know who we are. Look at me. Your knowledge gives you what you pray for. You didn't hear me. That is why, in as much as we are praying to go for a revival in every ramification, one thing we must seek to contend for is the right knowledge. Because if the enemy should thwart men with wrong knowledge, the enemy will not fight you again. The enemy seeks to make you not believe in what you know about God. Am I complicating, friends? That is why whenever we have such prophetic encounters, my personal desire is to see people grow in the knowledge of God. Because when there's knowledge, you can have life. Or am I communicating, friends? So just don't come and say, you know, we've heard Prophet Benjamin can prophesy. We do that by God's grace. But you know one thing? If we don't become what we pray for, it's a proof that God didn't trust us enough for what we pray for. Because when there's trust, the ability to replicate in diverse ways of prayer for will come to pass. These are very deep words. So contend for true knowledge. Thank God. We have Mama Gladys who is teaching people with the right knowledge. Because just one knowledge you indoctrinate into yourself can change your whole life. One wrong knowledge. Okay? Just one. But am I communicating, friends? Yes. There's a reason why Jesus Christ at a tender age had to be given to a virgin Mary. Just because of the knowledge she had. Remember, when you put a baby in the womb of a mother, everything the mother becomes is the identity of the child. So Jesus was holy because the mother was holy. Can I teach today? the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, the verse 31. If your Bible is big, your life will be big. If your Bible is big, your testimony will be bigger. But if your Bible is very small, fill in the blank space. If your Bible is new, your miracle will be new. But if your Bible is old, fill in the blank space. Are we there, please? Isaiah chapter 40, the verse 31. So my dog will... But just for us to have a clear understanding, let us start from the verse 29. The book of Isaiah chapter 40, the verse 29. And let's end with verse 31.
Isaiah 40, reading from the verse number 29.
Yes, sir.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength.
Yes, sir.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary.
My God.
And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
My God.
They shall mount upon the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
My God.
And they shall walk and not faint.
Wow. Are you blessed, friends?
Yes.
So I'm going to take my time so we establish a company today. Because we have 2 days of revival. Are you ready for that? God is good. All right. So I'll be so glad if you can get yourself a notebook and a pen so you can write some of these revelations as well. So study the scriptures well. You realize the prophet Isaiah is giving us a promise that God has given unto those for something they do. Now, before I do that, please hear me. You can never receive from God if you don't know who you are. Whenever a man seeks for restoration from God, the first thing God does is to show your identity or something you are. If the enemy succeeds in making you miscommunicate through identity, destiny cannot find you. In fact, the first key that brings about restoration is recovery. So whenever the Lord seeks to bless men, where he wants to entrust them with the key for replicating in diverse ways what it is, the first thing is to show them who they are. If the enemy thwarts your identity of knowing who you are, trust me, no matter what you see, it cannot come to pass. Believers are at a point whereby it looks like they are shadow boxing with almost every principle in our life. And for strange reasons, what they know isn't given what they deserve. Are we ascending church? I'm going somewhere. Now, I realize that most believers don't know who they are. And because of that, whenever we make mention of such mystery, it looks like a common promise. Yet there can't be any manifesting for them. For him. The Lord's view over the life of the man is far different from your own perception. How God sees you from his realm is far different from how a man sees himself. If your identity over your life differs from God's perspective, there is no way your results will ever be in similitude with God's prophecy. Or am I communicating, church? If I'm looking at our brother here, and I look at him from the realm of Elohim, then his life can become the manifestation of everything God predestined for him. But if my perspective is far different from what God has said, it can't match what God has said. In other words, until there's destiny, there can't be alignment. Sweet. I'm going somewhere, friends. Now, God wants a man to understand that you are not a man because you have blood flowing through your veins. You are a man because you are a carrier of divine virtues. God in his end time has never called any human being a man just because they had the ability to wake up every morning. You are a man because you are a carrier of God. You will never see God call any human being a man just because they have the ability to do what physical men do. He calls you a man because you walk in the realm of the supernatural. Oh, God is good. God's view over the life of the man is God looking at himself just like you. Let me break it down. Let me break it down. Sir, come here. Stand here for me. Look at me. Oh, are you blessed, friends? Church, let's face the church, okay? Now look at me. I call him a man because he looks like a man true of words. But you realize that the Lord's view over this man's life has got nothing to do with his physical species. It's got to do with what God thinks of himself. Because when God was making this man, God saw himself and then made this man. Amen. Oh, you didn't clap your hands. Now, the Bible says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. So, if God is calling this person a man, it's because the likeness of God has been bestowed upon his life. So, anytime I see a human being and I call the person a man, I'm talking about a likeness dimension of God that God had to give to somebody. Now, if you don't know who you are and what you carry, what you speak forth can't manifest. Because everything about the life of a man is connected to who you are. That is why when Christ met Moses, the Bible says the first identity God gave Moses was an I am that I am. Oh, God is good. If you lack a revelation of who you are, what you desire for can't manifest. So before we get to this scripture here, God says, every believer must understand that which you carry. Now hear me, friends. I want you to know that a spirit has no emotion. A spirit has no weakness. You can never tell the weakness of a spirit. You can never tell the emotion of a spirit. Because, you know, in God's kingdom, if a spirit has emotion, the spirit will die off. And since spirits can't die, they can't have a feeling. Spirits only have principles, not emotions. Are we ascending, church? Now, look at me. In God's kingdom, even the heavenly bodies don't have the chance of seeing God in his full state. Everything about God in the divine is actually a mystery. Are we ascending, friends? Please hear me, friends. The Bible says the realm where God is, he lives in a realm that cannot be approached by people. So even the heavenly bodies in heaven, they are compelled to give their worship to God. Yet, the knowledge we have about God is far different from theirs. Are we ascending, friends? Are we ascending, friends? Please, hear this ministry, church. So the Bible says, they sing God, holy, holy are you, Lord. Now, they don't call God holy because he's a being without sin. The issue is, in God's kingdom, whenever you call God any name, every name has an assignment trapped in the name. And since angels don't have any emotion, they can't have any heart desire. If they are to call God any other name apart from holy, the dimension in that name must work for them. And since angels have no request, the only name is holy, holy are you, Lord. It means you are a class of your own. Wildfire. Something will happen in Worcester tonight. I'm telling you. No, after tonight, if God is looking for men, I will stand in the fire. No, after tonight, if God is looking for worshippers, if God is looking for revivalists, church, are you ready for tonight?
We just started. Oh, God is good. Now, hear this, friends. Hear this, friends.
So God is opening the eyes of somebody according to the scripture. But it says, before that becomes a possibility, ensure that you have a true image of who you are. If not, every promise that the scripture entails can never become a possibility, friends. Am I communicating? Now hear this, church. Hear this, church. So anytime the angels go before the Lord, they sing unto God, holy, holy are you, Lord. Now, don't forget that before the devil became God's enemy, he was God's favorite. Oh, talk to me, church. Now, he was the only angel that was permitted to stand in the inner court of heaven. Meaning, for years, he wanted to know who God is and how God looks like. Because the realm he lives is light. He has no shape, he has no figure. You can't touch light, you can only feel light. So he wondered, what makes this species a different species? Because even when he speaks, everything must bow down to his commandment. The Bible says that they searched, yet there was no answer for them. Until the Bible says a weakness in God compelled God to make himself God mankind. Now you realize that divinity was asking God, how do we get to see your prototype? So God said to himself, let us make man in our own image and likeness. In other words, God sat down and brought God out of God and placed God in the dust and called the God in the dust mankind. So when the angels saw man, they said, we have seen the God we see in heaven. Yeah. The realm that has hidden his identity that can't make us approach him, we have seen the God in flesh. That is why Adam didn't have to pray to name the animals. Because the realm in which he lived in was the realm of God. So whatever he said was so. So when Adam was naming the animals, says this shall be called the lion, he didn't have to pray. Because he lived in the exact realm like God. Oh, am I communicating, church? Now, are you aware that Adam was the only species that had the power to come as a flesh and also come as a spirit? The Bible says every night the spirit of the Lord will come walking to Adam, speaking to him in the cool of the day. Now, look at my church. The Bible says if you see God as a man, you will die. Because no man is permitted to see God. But the Bible says every night God will walk to Adam and speak to him in the garden. Meaning Adam saw God. Adam was not a man. Adam was a spirit like God himself. Are we ascending, friends? Oh, God is good. No, I'm starting on this note because I want you to know where you're going to. So you realize that Adam became that species in divinity that was envied by almost every spirit that existed before him. How is it that we've been serving this being for years and you came from nowhere and it looks like almost everything about the kingdom is highly dependent on you? How? Remember when the devil was judged from heaven, God didn't show him love, so he hated God. But he knew, if I can't get God, I can get something that looks like God. So the Bible says, in the silence of Eve, the devil came. What did God tell you? Remember, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Eve forgot that the Word that was on her lips was actually God in her. So the very moment she spoke out a secret to the enemy, she actually took God out of the picture and gave herself to the enemy. The Bible says, and the species began to wonder, God, it looks like for the first time you have created something that looks like you, but the person didn't think like you. The Bible says human beings, that is Adam and Eve, they saw the pleasure of life and they left whatever God constructed for mankind. The Bible says for the first time, and Jesus wept, because man had actually broken the protocol of spirituality. Remember, God made Adam like a hybrid creature. In other words, there are moments he could appear as a spirit and appear as a flesh. Now hear me, friends. I want you to know that the spirit at work in this man has no power to exert dominion here on earth without the assistance of the flesh. Talk to me, friends. His true identity is not what we see, but what's unseen. Yet, the Lord wanted to create man as a dominion, whereby he will now have power to rule over a domain called the earth. And since the earth was worldly, God had to create something from the earth to make man. So you realize everything a man had came from the earth, because when it's time for the man to have power over the earth, etc., he needs to have a flesh. Or am I complicating the flesh? God help us. Now look at the archangels. The Bible says among his constituency, he even has four living creatures. One has the face of a lion, that of a calf or an ox, that of an eagle, that of a man. You know, before you are given the power to stand in God's presence, you have to be given the power to see God. Because if you don't have power to stand before God, you will die before time, even you be the spirit. That is why sometimes when the dimension of God shows forth and the lion sees him, the lion has to change to an eagle to see God again. Because you can't understand who God really is. Yes, the Bible says Adam left this life and accepted the mundane life. He accepted the life that has an end. The Bible says, and God wept. Now look at me, friends. Are you aware that where Adam lived, where Adam resided, you realize that he didn't have to do much to understand who God is because he lived in God himself. But when sin became part of his life, it was now hard for Adam to decode the act of God. In what way? Hear me, friends. The Bible says that Adam sinned against God. And you know, if a spirit sees sin in you and there is no blood covering your sin, he has to kill you. Now, remember, if God had killed Adam because of the sin committed, God would have killed himself. And since God cannot die, God had to bring the same weakness in him to kill an animal to cover the sins of Adam. So when he sees the blood, automatically he will forgive Adam. Wildfire is back. Amen. 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 Lord, we are hungry for you. So God had to kill an animal and then place it on Adam. So when his being looks at Adam, his judgment cannot speak against. The God who was the father became a worker for man, because he so much loved man. Oh, are you blessed, friend? Oh, are you blessed, church? Now watch this. You realize that that thing that Adam did made Adam lose the standard God gave unto him. But God is so wise, eh? That he knows how to operate with people. Am I communicating, friends? He had to give man the opportunity and the permission to live like a normal person. But he says, I have the power to bring you back to where you fell from. But in this case, I just can't trust you. Now hear me say this, friends. People will tell you that in life, forget about your past and focus on your tomorrow. Let me correct that statement. There are certain sins, if you commit in a place of destiny, even though God has forgiven you, it can't be forgotten. You didn't hear me? Oh, did you hear that? So God says, you have violated the law that was created by the heavens to give you men ease. But for this fact, bear the consequence. Yeah. We know that life starts when we look forward. But the seed of destiny is yesterday. Yeah. So God had to now allow man live like a normal person. But he says, I'm going to give you the ability to ensure that whatever I've said about your life will come to pass. So Christ came to die like a normal person. I hear the revelation. Apostle Paul says Christ came in the image of the first Adam. In other words, Christ was the second Adam. Whatever Adam couldn't accomplish, Christ came to accomplish it. That is why both of them, their fathers were not earthly, their fathers were spiritual. So the father of Adam in heaven was God. The father of Jesus on earth was God. Oh, God is good. Hear this revelation. We haven't started yet. I'm just building foundation here. Oh, God is good. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The first Adam that God made like himself came as a man. He didn't come like a boy. But the second Adam that was called Christ came as a boy. The Bible says, and Christ knew obedience through the things he suffered from. Because, you know, in this life, if God should give a man an asset, without God not allowing a man grow in that through intimacy, you will not value what you have. Because Adam didn't grow through time, he couldn't value what God gave unto him. So he could actually give the fruit just to anybody anyhow. Adam didn't know where he stood was God himself. So God says, let Jesus Christ come as a boy. So for 30 years, Christ had to act like a carpenter's son. So life could teach him lessons. Now watch this. Remember, he bore the image of the first Adam. In other words, he had to do whatever the first Adam did, so that he could finally nail our sins on the cross of Calvary. Now watch this. The Bible says when the first Adam sinned in Eden, he had to cover himself with a fig tree because he was naked. The Bible says Christ came upon the earth. On one sunny day, he was very hungry and he saw a particular tree. He approached the tree. He approached the tree and saw that there was no fruit on the tree. The Bible called the tree a fig tree. Now, remember, in God's kingdom, everything can speak to God. So when the fig tree saw Jesus, he said, first Adam, have you come again upon the earth? In heaven, I destroyed you by making you naked. Have you come here again? When Jesus cared the fig tree, it's because in the spirit, the fig tree spoke to Christ. You have to press it. Father, help us tonight. The Bible says Christ cursed the fig tree, and the people never understood, because what was happening there was history trying to repeat itself. Look at me, church. In life, nothing new happens. Everything happening today is actually something that's happened before. Am I communicating, friends? So people didn't understand why Christ had to curse the fig tree. Number two, the Bible says, and the soldiers who killed Jesus stripped Jesus naked. Now, people didn't understand why he had to be stripped naked. Because in God's kingdom, nakedness means intimacy. So the Bible says the first Adam, when he was in spirit, was naked in flesh. So when Christ came as a person, coming to bring us back to where we fell from, he had to give us the power to become one like him. And he had to go back and do the same thing the first Adam did by going naked on the cross of Calvary. Yes. All because with that nakedness, whatever the man will wear would disdain the man's integrity on the cross. Am I communicating, church? And he says, I'm leaving you now. He says, the protocol has been given to you. But if you violate the protocol, you will have to bear the consequence. Because I have come to stand the guard for you. And he told them, in order for you to receive the life your forefathers lost when they went after the things of the flesh, I've given that life to you again. He said, but the mystery is that you have to understand the power of waiting. If you can't wait, the spirit from on high can't find you. So he told the disciples, enter into the upper room. Stay there until the spirit comes upon your life. Look at me, church. There are two sets of Christians in the world. There are the people that when they pray, God comes down to hear their prayer. And there are people when they pray, God will have to tell them to rise higher for him to hear their prayer. You didn't hear me. Let me break it down for you. It is you who thinks prayer is communicating through words to God. Prayer simply means come and enter deep into me. So I show you the life beyond time to come. Hear me. How did we know how the world started? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Am I right? Now, every time we preach in church, we tell people that Christ lives in heaven. My question is, if God started creating the world by first creating the heavens, where was God before the heavens were made? Oh, talk to me, church. If you tell them God resides in heaven, and we also know from Genesis 1 that God began, creating the heavens, where was God? You realize God himself became a house. And God himself lived in God. So the heaven you are talking about He lives in a realm where he himself is the house and lives in himself. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be honored. Wave your hands, church. From the rising of the sun to the setting, to the setting of the same, your name, say your name, is to be. Are you blessed, friends? So God told them. Please project the quotation for us. Let's project the verse 31, please. Isaiah 40, verse 29, please. To be alone. He says, when you understand the power of waiting, this will be given to you from on high. Now, church, please hear me. Oh, are you blessed, friends? We are Sunday. We are Sunday. Now, hear me. The Lord has created two systems to speak of His glory. The first system is the written word of God, the second system is the man who personalizes God. Everything that God did in the past, He wrote it in the scripture, so people could know what He did before. And I want you to know that God is not the God of the past, nor today, nor tomorrow. He actually is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, today is Friday on earth. If there were to be a Friday in heaven, yesterday will be Friday, today will be Friday, tomorrow will be Friday. So God says He knows His power is regulated through seasons. So He ensures that He raises a man in every generation to ensure that whatever He did before could be seen through someone's life. In other words, whenever I look at somebody, the person's life should be a continuation of every scripture and word. So if this man's life here is not talking about the scripture, it's a proof he's lost in the enemy. Oh, am I communicating, friends? So God says He wants to give you a system whereby your life will not just tell us what God did before, but you can trap God in its current state to prove God to us. Look at me. It was Moses who went on high to tell us how the world started. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. How did God entrust so much in the hand of Moses, the power, to see how the world started? Oh, because where he entered was not earthly. Oh, am I communicating, church? The Bible says Moses was so anointed until he could stand in front of the Red Sea and command the sea to open. Now, it is you who believe that Jesus appeared in the New Testament, but you realize that Christ actually appeared to Moses in the Old Testament. How? When he stood in front of the Red Sea, he was shocked himself how the sea will open up for them. And God says, what is the rod doing in your hand? Just stretch the rod, and then the water will begin to do. Now, look at me, friends. When Christ came, He told the people, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When they stood in front of the sea that was blocking their path, the name of Christ came to them, I am the way. So when the rod was stretched over the water, the name of Jesus had to find expression upon the living waters. So you realize that God's system of showing people His power is predisposing His mind upon someone's life. So whatever people can see God do, when your life does, it becomes a possibility for men to believe in Him. But it says, He will not just wake up like how He did for the first Adam until you do what the second Adam did, called the mystery of waiting. Oh, am I communicating, church? So others think that waiting simply means, let me just tarry here until I see the glory of the Lord. Meanwhile, God's description for waiting is wanting to make you what what you are desiring to have. Because if God is to give you what you pray alone, and God can't put in you the seed that will give you the power to replicate in diverse ways what you pray for, a proof that what you receive will never come from your trust. Because God does not show men mercy until he showed them trust.
Your hands are gonna visit you.
Oh, are you blessed, friends? Now watch this here. And he's telling the people that your possibility to rise to that place he has predestined for you is connected to your obedience or waiting upon the Lord. You know, we live in that dispensation where everybody wants to receive something in a rush. True for us. Yeah. We live in the microwave generation, yeah, where people think they can command any possibility at will. No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. Everybody wants to make things work at their will, and God says no. Even God himself, when he came as a man, he had to submit to the counsel of whatever God has said about his life. That is why when Christ was born as a child, he had to grow as a man. And at 30, he began the ministry. Christ himself could have said, why don't I speak and then save the world from sin and calamity? Yet he had to go through the sufferings of life for 30 solid years. Church, hear me. There are two ways of knowing that God has come to give you what you pray for. Now, most of us believe that whenever we come before the Lord and we pray to God for an answer, God must give us what we've prayed for. Am I right? Now, when we see the arrival of our answer, then we say God has given us a testimony. Am I right? Now watch me. What God wants to do for you is not to give you what you've prayed for, but to make you what you pray for. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me show you. Who has money here? You have like a dollar bill or $20. Who's one? Thank you, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. Now watch this. Now watch this. Let's say our uncle here is believing God for financial breakthrough. Now I believe this man shall become a rich man. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Now, let's say this man is praying for financial breakthrough. And let's say he's praying that God gives him a $20. Right? When this money lands in his hands, he will say God has blessed him, isn't it? Great. Now, in God's kingdom, if he's to give you something your strength can acquire in some time to come, you will lose reverence for what he gave you. So because he wouldn't want you to compete with him over what he gives you the power to buy this. Okay, let me come back. People believe the highest form of riches is money. Am I right? Talk to me, church. The reason why Elon Musk is popular is because as he stands now, he's the richest man. Am I right? But I want you to know that in the life where we come from, God does not rate your standard based on what you have, but by who you are. So you hear me? That is why when God was saying that people must be true in their worship towards him, he didn't make mention of money. He made mention of mammon. Because the spirit that rules over money wants to compare himself with God himself. Because the way people are committed in getting money, if they can be committed to God, he can give them power over mammon. That's what I mean. So God will not just give you what you pray for. God will make you what you pray for. Because when he makes you what you pray for, you live in that realm of God where at will, you can replicate in diverse ways what you deserve. When God told Noah to gather the animals in the ark, what language did Noah use? Well, talk to me, friends. Now, what language did Noah use in gathering the snakes and the dogs in the ark? Now, how did Joshua command the sun to stand still? All because he just didn't receive what he prayed for. He became what he prayed for. The realm where he comes from, when he says something, it should be like that. The Bible says, darkness covered the surface of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. You can't give what you don't have. So because God is light himself, when he said, let light appear, light appeared. If you are praying to God for something and the thing is not coming, you have not become what you pray for. Because once you enter the realm and you said, it must happen. I'm telling you. And God says the secret is that he's willing to give power to those who are willing to wait upon him. Yeah. Because the waiting time is the process time. Am I communicating, church? The waiting time is the making time. Oh, am I communicating, church? Oh, no. The enemy is not fighting you because of what you have. The enemy is fighting for who you are. The reason why Elizabeth was barren was because the womb that was in her stomach was about to carry somebody that will baptize her Lord, her Messiah. Oh, am I communicating, church? The enemy is not a foolish guy. He knows how to fight people. Before the enemy comes after you, he knows what you can do. Oh, you didn't hear me. Ayaya, katavapa shato, reketata. Ayaya, inimikovos, telemanta. David said, my enemies do not rejoice over me, because even if I fall, I shall arise. Oh, I'm telling you, friends, what God is about to give you will surpass your mindset. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Oh, lift up your hands, somebody. I came to prophesy. Hey, I came to prophesy. Hey, I came to prophesy.
let your enemies do their worst. My God shall come through for you. My God shall come through for you. Somebody say, yeah.
Aya. Aya Maya. Please sit down for me, church. Oh, are you blessed, friends? Let me tell you this. I'll open your eyes to see something that the enemy has closed your eyes on. Because people feel that when they wait, they are actually wasting. But I want you to know that a waiting time is not a wasting time. Oh, am I communicating, church? Yes. When God causes people to wait, it's because he wants to institute your life as a system whereby people will become what they are meant to be because of who you are. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The Bible says there was a rich man that lived and a poor man that lived. The poor man was called Lazarus. Lazarus died. The Bible didn't say he went to heaven. The Bible said he went to Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is in heaven. It is a part of heaven. But God named a part of heaven after Abraham. When God was making the heavens, where was Abraham? But how did God entrust a part of heaven in the name of Abraham? Whereby when the saints die today, they go and stay in Abraham's bosom. When God told him, leave your father's house and enter into the place I will show you, he didn't make mention of the present Israel. He said, leave the physical earth and come into the abode above. Because in my father's house, there are many mansions there. Even the holies of holies, the angels, don't even have the qualification to have their names named after any apartment in heaven. No, what God wants to make you is bigger than your expectation. Oh God is good. So whenever life delays and you feel like giving up, check the process. Because what God wants to give you would even compel your enemies to say your God is good. Oh yeah. Now trust me, there are some miracles. It can only take the mouth of the Lord to proclaim on your behalf. Oh, I'm telling you, church. If all the miracles are handmade, people cannot see the wonder of God. A proof you have a miracle is that even you become a sign and a wonder. Oh, God is good. Oh, are you blessed, friends? Let me say two things and then we leave you. God is good. Mama, God told me something. And I'm so happy to see so many women in their house. Oh, yes. Because the end time revival is connected to the voice of the woman. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Because the end time riches is connected to women. No, I believe in my heart that after tonight, if God wants to raise a remnant, God must come to souls of Yahweh. Because there are women on the altar who are seeking for power. Oh, my God. My God. My God. No, I believe in my heart that if God must raise president in this country, they will come from this house. Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Watch this. Watch this. The Bible says when the devil wanted to know the secret of God, the enemy visited Eve. When Jesus wanted to come through and save mankind, he sent the angel to go to Mary. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. A woman is not someone that has the flesh or that has the blood. She's actually a key in the spirit. Whereby spirit depend on her to make things happen. Ladies and gentlemen, the breakthrough you want in your family, even though everybody's praying, God is waiting for you to say yes to that. Because when you say yes to God, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Now, how did a woman become holy? For God to live in a stomach for 9 months. Elizabeth was somewhere when God told her that your time has come. Go and visit your cousin Mary because she carries the baby of your Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, women are sensitive. Women are spiritual. When they speak, things must change. Are you aware the cry of a lady is a law?
The Bible says a woman committed adultery. Everybody wanted to stone her, but they forgot the person they ran to was the Lord himself. The Bible says, and Christ sat and they wrote something on the floor, and the people began to drop their stones, because whenever a lady cries, a law has been made. Ladies and gentlemen, God is raising a lawmaker in the house. God is raising a lawmaker in the house. If God be for you, who can lift up your hand and say fire? Yeah, lift your hand and say fire. Yeah, lift your hand and say fire. Scream and say, I am ready, Lord.
Church, sit down for me. Oh, are you blessed, friends? Now, said, but those who wait upon the Lord, he has given them a condition. You know, sometimes waiting upon the Lord will make you look foolish before people. Oh, God is good. Yeah. Sometimes when the Lord compels a man to wait, people who don't understand what God is doing with you and for you and through you will think you're wasting time. Yes. In fact, God would have to permit enemies to laugh at you. Oh, yeah. You know, when the media projected the video, I was almost in tears. Do you know why? Because it was exactly 10 years ago when God told me. He says, Benjamin, fast for 1 year. He says, when you break your fast, drink tea and eat bread. He says, try and set your alarm to pray at night. And sometimes, if you feel you are tired, stretch on to pray for 6 hours. Are you aware that for one solid year, I fasted drinking tea and eating bread for one solid year? There are times I'll be sitting in the class and angels will be teaching me whilst the teacher is teaching me in the class. There are times I'll be seeing the angels writing things on the board. Now, sometimes I'll say things to my teachers and they'll be like, you are not from the earth. Understand? The Bible says when Jesus was 12 years old, he spoke to the elders in the church. And they said, you look too small for this wisdom. Now, strange enough, in the course of the fasting, I was thinking that God will make this happen. God told me this. He says, if you think that fasting makes things go away, he says, no. Fasting invites the enemy into your camp. Fasting invites God in your camp. Are you aware Jesus, the word incarnate, fasted for 40 days and the first person he met after fasting was the devil? How is it that when the devil met God, he couldn't kneel down? All because the terrain where Christ was standing on was given to the devil. Even God himself said, the prince of this earth is coming, but he has found nothing in me. And Christ could not challenge it. For 1 year, mama, sometimes we'll gather in church and we'll be over 400 people. And people will be saying, Kai, this guy, you're a prophet. Until one day, some elders my father appointed said, the way this guy is prospering in the prophetic grace, there's something behind it. People sat together and said, let us disgrace this guy. From nowhere, the members we knew, some will not come to church. Sometimes they will fight intentionally in the church. When you try to defend one person, somebody says, because you defended this person, I have stopped the church. From 400, we came to 300. We're like, it's normal. From 300, we came to 100. Oh, it's normal. From 100, we came to 50. People said, Kai, prophet of God. It'd be like, say, your eye has died because people are not coming to church again. Oh, hello. In fact, the more I prayed, I was seeing visions. I will see the flag of the world. I'll be like, I see flags in the church. I was thinking the flag will be in the church. And God says, wait, let me show you something. From 50, we came to 10. From 10, we came to 3. At a point in time, my father, my mother, and my two sisters, we pray in church. And God told us, don't lock the church. Even if you can't pay the church rent, don't lock the church. Because if you lock the church, you will command the enemy to laugh at you. Strange enough, the people
people we're praying with, thinking they love us, were actually the same people behind our pain. Sometimes it is not the one who stands with you that loves you. I'm telling you, sometimes you would think that they love you, wait until they kill you. Hagar was a slave of Sarah. She was humble all this while until she had the fruit of the womb. When baby came into her stomach, she became very pompous. Only time can reveal the act of man. Oh, you didn't hear me. If God does not open your eyes, you will not see. Until one day I prayed for 7 days dry. I said, God, you either kill me here or you give me an answer on the altar. And he says, watch, the people around you will fight you when you grow up. So I had to find a way for them to live your life. So when you begin to grow, I'll bring kings and queens to you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you must get mastery in life, God will separate you. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the people you help will fight you one day. But ladies and gentlemen, God has never failed us. Ladies and gentlemen, when my enemies came up as a flood, God had the power to make them flee in 7 ways. Scream and say, help me, Lord.
Now, from nowhere, Dr. Yannick, I was seeing countries in my church. Until I prophesied to a Nigerian lady, and she said, where have you been all this while? Because if I met you earlier, my life would not be this. Now, from this day, I don't know where the lady is. She went about telling everybody in the city, a young prophet has come to this country, and the guys do wonders everywhere. Now, people said, man of God, we've been passing in front of this church for 2 years. I never heard of your name. And God told me, if he does not allow life kill man, the pleasure of life will kill you beforehand. Because when God put his hand upon a man, your life becomes the signature of heaven. And because God wouldn't want to be disgraced in front of your enemies, he has to kill the flesh in you. If the flesh does not die, the spirit cannot live. Somebody say, waiting upon the Lord. Until one day, God told me, he says, start this denomination called Dominion Movement. He says, the sign that you will know that you have begun dominating that, I'll bring people who are far older than you to come to your meetings. He says, you begin to speak their life in your message. And when they listen to you, they can't go back again. He says, you will say things above your age and men will be compelled to say, thank you, Jesus, because of your wisdom. He says, stay here until I make you. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy knows the power of God at work in waiting. So he will let you believe that what you know about God is not so. Wait until you become what you see. Because when you become what you see, men will see the God which can be seen in heaven, yet they can see your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, when people wait upon that, God gives them power to work in signs and wonders. Where you become a wonder unto yourself. I'm telling you. But am I communicating, friends? Or am I communicating, church? It's funny how people are making destiny decisions and they wouldn't even want to understand the place of waiting. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with Minister Kelvin, and I told him that for some time now, I'm seeing that a lot of young ladies are getting married. A lot of young men are getting married. And I said, let us tell our generation that marriage is not wedding. Wedding and marriage are two different things. Maybe that's what we can see. The makeup you do, hello, and the bouquet you threw is not what you call marriage. True of us. Because once you leave the church and you enter the house with the man or the woman, the true character begins. If the man was texting you good morning every day, it can't be good money again. It can't be. If the man was buying flowers every day, you won't buy it every day. He will tell you the economy is very, very bad. I'm telling you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If the guy was taking you on a date every day, he says, no,
He will tell you, go to the kitchen and cook something for us to eat. I'm telling you. Oh, God, let's go. I'm telling you.
You know, if you are dating somebody, you try to act holy. Three of us. Yes. After the guy has finally gripped you, his true card will come out.
Somebody say, hey.
Oh, are you blessed, friends? There is something I learned years ago in my early life, and I've never forgotten about this. The Lord told me that love is never true until love is divine. You didn't hear me? The Lord says love is never true until love is divine. I ask why. He says that which you want to do emanated from a being called God. He is the best person that can define what love is. Because he does not wait for you to give him something. He does for you what you can do for yourself. But my communicating judge. Now hear me, friends. If the enemy kills that life of yours to make you believe that you are meant to be with somebody just to find who you are, I pray for mercy for you. Do you know why? Because to God, marriage is a proof of trust. Let me leave that aside. Back to my context, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I bless friends. If the enemy wants to make you think that God is not speaking to you, the enemy will make you devalue what God has told you. Look at me. You are not the only person that heard the promise of God. When God spoke, everything heard God speaking. Let me hear me. You are not the only person who heard God will make you great. Enemies in hell heard that thing too. Or am I communicating? When God told you he'll make you a millionaire, he'll make you anointed, the enemy also heard. Yes. Or am I communicating, church? Yes. Because the devil knows that if the word of God finally finds expression through you, he's in problem. Because when men become gods, the enemy runs into oblivion. I'm telling you. Because just one life of yours can change the whole territory. I'm telling you. So the enemy will cause you to trivialize the place of waiting. Hey, if men must become gods, they must understand the power of waiting. Yes. There are certain speeds you can never command until you have waited for a long time. Look at me. God told me that if you begin this race in life by running, you will lose. But if you begin this race by weight, you're going to win. Do you know why? Because the end you want to reach is God's identity. He can make the end the beginning for you. Oh, God is good. Thank God we have a lot of young men and women who would want to walk in anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, the anointing is not just the gifts a man displays on the altar. The anointing is the weight of trust God becomes upon your life. You didn't hear me? A man can display the gift on the altar and you still look like a comedian before the Lord. Look at me. There's no trust. There's no trust if the Lord can't show you the patterns of the secret of life. God is... Look at me. God told me this. Let me end this here. Are you blessed, friends? Just one and you pray. Our time is fast spent. God is good. Mama, let us tell these people there that God wants to immortalize their life in a way that even after they have left this realm called the earth, the generation to come can benefit of them. That is the proof of anointing. If God says a wise man leaves inheritance, it's got to do with the virtue you leave behind. Because a man can constitute a pattern of spirit. Whereby the things you live become the law of the spirit, where God will have to refer men back to you for how you live your life. Let me break it down for you. Are you aware that the virtue called honor your father and mother, the virtue called honor was missing until Esther appeared? How?
Vashti, the first wife of the king, thought that I have the power to decide when to show my beauty and when not to show my beauty. The first Vashti thought that, you know, I have the power to make things happen at will. Until finally she was sacked from the palace. She thought she was a queen because of her beauty. Meanwhile, she was only a queen because of the king. When people get to think they are who they are because of what they have, God takes that thing away from them. You are who you are because who you are connected to. Am I communicating? Now, the enemy tried to replicate the same dimension again by making a king institute a festival where he will be left alone in the room. The Bible says, at that time of the year, nobody could see the king until the king tells you to come. If the king does not stretch forth his staff, they will kill you beforehand. So Esther told the people, pray for me, because even if I perish, I perish. She knew that if the Lord does not teach her the way to go in order for her to find favor before the king, when she sees the king, she will die before her own time. But the Bible says she became a warrior in the spirit, whereby God told her, when you see the king, go on your knees. Because when you go on your knees, the king will be compelled to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? He says, even if you want half of my kingdom, I'm willing to give you. Esther was the only warrior in the Bible who didn't have to kill her enemies with a gun or a sword. She only had to kneel down before the husband, because the statement of the husband will kill the enemy beforehand. She is the only woman in the Bible where her life speaks about the coming Savior of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, her life made us understand that you can actually win battles online by going on your knees. When there's honor, there is life. When there's honor, there's liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, if your life is not showcasing virtue, you will lose reverence. You will lose reverence. That is why God will tell you to wait, wait! Because he wants to make you what you pray for. If you come what you pray for, you have the power to make things happen. I'm telling you, church. Let no one deceive you. Waiting does not kill men. Allow your friends celebrate. Let them celebrate. Let them enjoy the life they want. And let God teach you patterns in the spirit. Yeah. Because nothing validates why men are alive until they have a spirit. Wait! Abraham, wait, wait. Because the baby coming through you is not just Isaac, but the baby is coming to represent an order in heaven, whereby if I come to save mankind from sin, when I make mention of your name, the portals of heaven can accept me for who I am. Hannah went before the Lord in prayer. The Bible says for 10 solid years there was no answer, until Hannah decided to leave the husband Elkanah alone. He says, you have gone for several years. Every time you come with a miracle, me too, I also want to go and testify. The Bible says she went on the altar and prayed until God had to speak to the priest unto her life. Now look at me, church. Whenever couples go before the Lord, they go as one identity. And since the man is the head, the version of the God you know becomes your identity also. The dimension of God Elkanah knew about God was the God that gives babies. Yet the life of Hannah couldn't tell her the experience of that until Hannah had to go alone. When she stood before God alone, God says, I'm not seeing Hannah, I'm not going to see Elkanah. The Bible says she went so deep in prayer until the gift God gave her was called Samuel. Samuel was the only prophet who prophesied that even from ages to date, his prophetic word never came to. Look at me. The seed God gave unto Hannah called Samuel was a system. God, let me bring a man that God will have to depend on to bring kings on the throne. Doc, can I finish today? Somebody say, wait upon the Lord. Life would test you. Life would tempt you. Life will push you to the wall. In fact, they will do that through your friends. Today, most of the people I began with in life, in ministry, they are nowhere to be found. Kelvin, I can't find them again. Yeah. Because when we were building stamina, they were building fame. I did program for 6 years in Belgium and my face was never on a flyer, Daddy. For 6 years, God told me, never put your face on a flyer. So we would have a flyer like this, fire conference, no name. So as to who they will come and meet, when they come, they'll see the person. They'll be, who is the host? I said, we don't even know, but just come, you will see the person preaching. And you know, at that time, I had no beard. I had one small boy face. And I'll be holding this back. Who is this small boy talking like that behind the pulpit? Oh, God, let's go. There are three levels of anointing God gives every man. Let me say this here. The day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, your life became the abode of Elohim. In other words, the Holy Ghost came to reside in you. The presence of the Holy Ghost in a man's life is called the anointing. So every believer who believes in Christ is anointed. Am I communicating? The second level of anointing comes upon our life when you understand the office you've been called to operate in. So the very moment you now know your office and you walk in that pattern of the office, automatically grace comes upon your head. Number three, when a man becomes sensitive to divine burdens, whereby you can align your life per time to do the will of the Father, he gives you grace. The grace that will make you popular among your era is the grace that comes upon people when they find the burdens of God. When you carry the grace as a Christian and you carry the grace as a prophet or whoever it is, it will not be as powerful as whoever understands divine burdens, so your life can become the life of God. Because you've entered so deep until you can see what time has not said about God. My last word. There is a strong difference between discernment and obedience. Let no one tell you that discernment ends when you can tell the difference between good and evil. In fact, telling the difference between good and evil is the lowest part of discernment. The highest form of discernment is telling what the Lord has upon his heart, even when time has not said so. Because there are certain mysteries about God that time can say. If time should say, time will crash. So God would want men to rise so high. He tells them to have search, so their life becomes the wood where they can bask God's glory. Ladies and gentlemen, he told John. He says, John, these things, don't write them. Keep them in your heart. Because if you keep them in the scroll, people who really can't understand this mystery. He wants to make you something about himself. Where men will say, indeed, God is good. Ladies and gentlemen, wait until he aligns your life to become more like him. Whereby whatever you do is God himself. God does not give babies alone. He gives systems. He gives systems whereby they can create and reprocreate again. Waiting as a price tag. Yeah. Check your life. There are many things you could have topped easily if you had focused on who God was. You think the enemy is after you because of the stipends you are working hard for? Financial crisis isn't the enemy's ultimate dream attack. The devil's ultimate dream attack is to ensure that they take God out of your life so he can become the God over your soul. Because he wants to shame God because of your life. Mama, you see this small boy standing here? By God's grace, I'm just starting life. But at least with the little I've seen, some of the people we have submitted to the ministry are way older, way older. We had our conference 2 weeks ago, and my people came together to present to me an award on the pulpit. And when I saw the age of the people on the pulpit, I was 70 years. I said, what has come upon this head that such men could listen to this man? There is a grace that when it comes upon your life, only small people can listen to you. There's a grace that when it comes upon your life, a different organization will listen to you based on what you are dispensing. And there's a grace when it comes upon your life, all men will seek for you. It is called Hear Ye Him Anointing. When it comes upon your head, even animals will talk when you talk back. Because you have the power to create like God himself, I'm telling you. If God has has not told you to go, don't go. Oh, does it make sense? Separate your emotions from God's reality. What am I communicating in church?
Word
unto his life becomes your life.
Wait.
You are not rushing anywhere. Wait. Man of God, I'm aging. Wait. Because if God finally gives you what you pray for, you can't handle it. People don't know the burdens of the kingdom is bigger than their pleasure. Hear this revelation about Esther. And then I tell you two things to do and to know the Lord. Are you blessed, friends? Great. So please come.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from earth to the cross. My death to pay from the cross to the grave. The grave to the sky, Lord, I lift.
Lift up your hands.
We sing, you came, you came, you came, say, you came from her to show the way to show.
Somebody say, yeah.
God is good. If you are in life and you are a lady, let no one tell you beauty does not count. Beauty counts.
If someone tells you that beauty is in the eye of the boy, he's lying. Beauty is not in the heart, it's on the body as well. Somebody say, yeah.
We don't work with X-rays. We have to. Oh, are you blessed, friends? Now watch this. What's the name, please? Emma, what's the name, please? Okay, so I will change the name for just 2 seconds. So you are Esther. You are Vashti. Just for the play, oh, not in real life. Girl, is it? Oh.
Somebody say amen.
Oh, are you blessed, friends? And this is the king. You're a fresh guy, sir.
Clap for the fresh guy. God is good.
All right, now watch this. Watch this. When you get this revelation, you will know why you can't play with God's instruction. Watch me, please. This is King Xerxes. Other versions say King Ahasuerus. This is Vashti. This is Esther.
The king is celebrating birthday, celebrating impact. And he wants to show the world how powerful he is because of the wife he has. He calls the wife and the wife says no. Because the wife was thinking she's beautiful and that she can command whatever she wants. Forgetting that the king had to show her power. Am I communicating? Because of the power allocated upon her life, she now became the queen upon the people. You hear me, friends? The Bible says when the king called for the lady said no. Remember, every king has an elder. The elder said, if you allow this happen, almost every species would have to devalue the marriage, because when the queen said no to the king did nothing about it. The Bible says an announcement was made that women had to line up. And out of the election that took place, Grace found Esther and she became the new wife. Am I right? Now let me show you why Esther is powerful. Esther is not just powerful because of who she is and what she did. Her life speaks of the coming Messiah. How? The king is Jesus. Vashti is the Jew. Esther is the Gentile. Christ came to his own, the Jew. The Jew didn't accept him. Because in their mind, they had an idea on how the king should appear. And because Christ appeared as a humble lamb, because he had to be slain for the sins of men to be forgiven, they said, no, our kings don't look like this. They come very majestically in nature, but for you, you look poor in our eyes. Meanwhile, Christ had to look poor in order for men to become rich. The Bible says they rejected his own. His own said, we don't believe in you. Can you imagine the king entered his own village and he said, are you not the child of the carpenter? Look at me. Those who saw Jesus as a carpenter had their doors fixed. But those who saw Jesus as the life giver had their lives fixed. Oh, am I communicating, church? Can you imagine that the king of all kings, they said, you don't look like the person we want to have in our life. Look at me, everybody, church. The Bible says, the elders around Christ said, why don't you send messengers into the street and go and call people? So this is the Gentile who does not belong to the end time covenant. But just because mercy was shown upon her generation, the Bible says favor found her. The Bible says she was now taken off the throne, and this person called Esther was now being placed on the throne. She was 16 years old, undeserving of the crown, yet mercy found her. The Bible says a time came when the enemy wanted to now steal this lady with pride. The Bible says in the realms of the spirit, what happened? Mordecai, her uncle, said, the reason why God placed you there was because he wanted you to save your people in times like this. So if you just think about the glory of the throne and you forget about intercession, you will lose the life God has given to you. So the Bible says, Mordecai, come here. Mordecai had to speak to Esther in order for her to know what she's doing. Remember, Jesus told us that as he's going, he will not leave us alone. He will leave unto us the comforter. Mordecai became a prototype of the Holy Ghost, whereby when the church is deviating from God's path, the Holy Ghost says, remember, the Jews were once like you. They thought they knew the law, but the law validates its source from the Spirit. So if you neglect the voice of the Holy Ghost, you will come down in life. So Esther became powerful because her life instituted the coming Messiah. If people don't wait, you can't intercept life with a seed where generations will have to bear who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, if God must trust a man, God will give you a virtue. And it comes to waiting upon the Lord.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920 9054, or email us at office@benjaminfodjer.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjer. Twitter is SeniorBenjaminFodjer. And on website is www.benjaminfodjer.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. The vision, the mission, the passion.